from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
Tennessee with a bit of a slow start Saturday. Maybe some hangover from the Athens loss. But they settled down and they got the blowout win over UTEP.
Well, it was a typical first quarter, actually, for Tennessee. And you know what? Probably good. The only game, actually, that Tennessee has really got off to a fast start in the first quarter was the Georgia game. They end up losing that one. So, from that standpoint, right on cue. A lot of missed opportunities early. And I will say this, UTEP had something to do with that. A few trick plays, a few other things. But, again, typical start for this 2024 team.
Nico just wasn't in rhythm. There were people open. He misfired. The first one across the middle was behind Squirrel White, really far behind him. I mean, he'd have caught that one. He's going in for a touch. He just wasn't in rhythm. He really wasn't. It wasn't very accurate. Throwing it to the right place just was not very accurate.
It's always been my view, and Mac was a head coach and a coordinator, but you don't try to do too much. Just line up. Have a simple game plan. Let your players go make plays. Don't try to, you know, give them things to maybe slow down a little bit. This is a game that going in, you know, if you play average, you're going to win. Just line up and play. And I think for the most part, Tennessee did that.
Now it's Vanderbilt. And so much riding on this game. A rejuvenated Vanderbilt program that, even after a couple of losses, still riding the wave of what has happened this year.
Well, and they've been close losses, too. Certainly the last one, just 7 points down in Baton Rouge, tough place to play. I think sometimes it's talked too much about the hatred part of them. We want to win to ruin their season. This year, it's not only to put Tennessee out of the playoffs, but this is also a team now that can win 7 football games, go to a good bowl game. So Vanderbilt's got a lot to play for. Tennessee has a lot to play for. Different types of where they're going, but this is a big ball game for both teams.
Well, it's a huge ball game for both teams because what Vandy has done, especially Clark Lee, he had a program in mind when he came in here. He stuck with that, and he's had players that have stuck with him, and also they're the poster child right now for the transfer portal. Done a really good job. Their talent evaluation in the transfer portal has really, really helped this football team along with, and again, a head coach. Coach Matthews talks about this a lot. When you come into someplace new, you're looking to build a program. And that's what Clark Lee has done. But the transfer portal, been a big part of it for them.
This game over the years here in Nashville, it's quite frankly been a Tennessee crowd both years. This is a Tennessee city. Nashville is University of Tennessee City. The atmosphere this week may be a little bit different. Number one, normally there were 42 to 44,000 seats. There's only 28,000 seats in this stadium right now because of the construction that's ongoing to refurbish the stadium. This is also senior day. Many times, many of the season ticket holders in this ball game will sell their tickets. Normally that's to a UT fan or UT person. I'm not sure it's going to happen this year because Vanderbilt's playing so well, has a great opportunity to win this ball game. They played exceptionally well at home. So we'll see on that. I think it'll probably be a 50-50 crowd, maybe. But again, it's going to be a crowd that's, I think, is really looking forward to seeing a great football game. And I think it will be a very competitive, great game.
We said it 2 weeks ago. It maybe would not be the top 10 teams that would decide how the rest of this football season went, but rather those mid-level teams. That certainly proved true this past weekend. Starting with Florida, second straight week playing the spoiler, they got pressure on Jackson Dart and their offense came through.
AD at Florida came out and said, "We're keeping Dan Napier." I think that was a big flip mentally for the players, and basically it set their course this year to saying we are sticking with this and we're going to work through what we have. Florida's been playing pretty good defense. Been playing really good defense, in fact. And look, they had 4 sacks in this ball game. Jackson Dart threw for 323 yards, but they had 2 interceptions. And also, Ole Miss had a fumble. Florida's defense played very, very well this game. I mean, Lagway for Florida, you know, as a quarterback, was only 10 of 17, 180 yards, but he threw 2 touchdowns and only threw 1 interception. But Florida has been playing pretty solid football ever since that decision was made.
What Ole Miss has done this year, they lost at home to LSU. On the road at LSU, 29-26, you know, one field goal. They lost to Florida last week, 24-17. But the one that's going to get them is they lost at home. They had a home loss to Kentucky, 20-17. So every one of those games just shows you how tight this league is this year. Every one of those losses were by 7 points or less. You simply cannot lose at home, and as close as this league is now.
Auburn and Oklahoma continued the trend Saturday night with wins, but Doug, it was even more than the wins. It was the way both of these teams won those games.
Well, and take Oklahoma. Let's just look at Oklahoma. Everybody's talking about their offense scoring points. Actually, their defense set up 14 of those points. But kind of go back and look at several teams this year. Oklahoma was one of them. They really didn't know who their quarterback was after the first couple of ball games. This Jackson youngster, though, came back, had a really good ball game, and defensively, they had a big-time defensive game. They've been playing well, but certainly a big win there. Defense gave their offense opportunities, and they took advantage of them. Again, a team that won at home and a team that lost on the road.
Auburn played a really physical football game, and they played a physical a football game that was back and forth, but they hung in there. You hear coaches talk so much about, you know, we overcame some obstacles. We overcame some obstacles that we ourselves created, but we hung in there. And plus, the quarterback play was pretty smooth for Auburn, which has been kind of erratic this year. But Auburn hung in there, and that was a big win.
And so here's Texas A&M and Texas reuniting. If that wasn't enough, an SEC championship game bid on the line. Dave, before we even talk about that part of it, take us inside this rivalry as someone born in Texas and raised there. What does this rivalry mean?
It's deep-seated. It is deep, deep-seated. You know, down there, you talk about the Red River rivalry, you know, with Texas and OU. Texas and Texas A&M, that is a neighborhood rivalry that has been – it gets nasty, and it gets nasty 365 days out of the year. The other thing is it's so ultra-competitive, and it's so ultra-competitive because all of the big money people on both sides are in the same business. Most of it is in the energy business. You're in the same business. And look, if Texas builds a 15-story building, then Texas A&M is going to build a 16-story building the next week. This is brother against brother. It's neighbor against neighbor. When you grow up in Texas, you either understand you're a Horn or you're a good old boy, which is an Aggie, and they don't mix very well on the football field.
Well, and this game is for the representative in the SEC championship. Whoever wins this ball game, Texas right now is leading. If they win, they're definitely in. If Texas A&M wins, they will also get in because of the tiebreaker. So throw another log on the fire there. I do think this game's going to get down to this, though, and that's going to be the play of the young quarterback, Marcel Reed, who's Nashville, Tennessee youngster. How he plays, I think, will be the deciding factor. Young, he is not played hardly much at all. I think he started the last five ball games. Very talented runner, but he'll be going up against the best defense he's faced so far. If Marcel Reed can play well, doesn't play great, can play well, A&M has a good chance of winning this game. Again, it is at Texas A&M. If he does not, likely the advantage goes to Texas.
One more look back to last weekend. Ohio State beats Indiana. Been a lot of beating up on the Hoosiers in the aftermath, but Doug, quite simply, you can only beat who you can play.
Well, that's exactly right, and you don't have anything to do with the conference games, but you have something to do with the non-conference games, and I think that's what Indiana's getting hit on right now. The fact of the matter is they are undefeated. I don't think anybody, I'll just speak for myself, I didn't even think about them going undefeated. New coach, they're transfer portal heavy, but they're playing really, really good football right now.
Well, look, you can't do anything but really compliment the job that Cignetti's done there. You can't. I mean, no matter how he did it, you cannot. But you don't have years of tradition on the football side of it in Indiana. And quite frankly, they're not as good as Ohio State. Their players are not as good. Indiana has done everything they could have done to get to this point, but they're not as good as Ohio State right now and may not be for quite a while.
This is Coast to Coast with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Bucks, cash, bread, coin, dough, bank, loot, cheddar, whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. Four great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins. Well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Vanderbilt and Tennessee close out the regular season Saturday in Nashville. Before we get there, let's look at the lessons from the UTEP game. This is Coach to Coach. When a quarterback starts like Nico Iamaliava did Saturday, Dave McGinnis, you've heard those coaching conversations. You've been on the headsets. What are you trying to do as a coach to get him settled down?
Just leave him alone. Let him play. Just leave him alone. Let him play. You know how he can play and what he can do, and especially against an opponent like that. You knew sooner or later the sprockets in the chain were going to start linking up and you were going to start rolling. But the worst thing you could do coaching in a ball game like that, when you are the superior talented team and you don't start off very smooth, don't panic. Just let him play. Keep playing. Keep it as low-key as you can because you know it's going to gin up, especially against an opponent like that.
Yeah, a big plus for him, too, was his offensive coordinator, his play caller, and his head coach is a former quarterback. You understand games like that. You just have them where you're a little bit off early. Tennessee started out with a slant. First play of the game was a slant route. Now, that play in practice is normally fairly easy to throw, but it's difficult to throw when you got a good cover guy out there and you have to throw that ball just about right. First quarter, not so much. Really got to playing well after that. Had big ball games, matter of fact.
Well, Coach, and I described it, you know, when I was watching it, that second quarter on, it was a tsunami, though. I mean, it was a total washout over UTEP, and you had no thoughts in your mind that anything bad was going to happen once the second quarter started. The Vols overwhelmed UTEP in every aspect of the game, as they should have. That thing came rolling in, and there was no way UTEP was going to stop it.
On the other side, a mobile quarterback again providing the Vols defense some issues. Doug, what does Tennessee have to do better against a mobile signal caller?
Well, I think this is true for every defense now. Mobile quarterbacks, especially the ones that run a spread that can run from a pass drop and also from a RPO or a called run, they give every defense problems because when they spread you out so much, when you try to play man coverage against that, and you normally have to, you know, often you kind of get your assignments a little bit mixed up. But the big thing is Tennessee has to do The great thing about playing, about the only good thing, quite frankly, defensively about playing UTEP last week was their quarterback, very similar in style, not nearly as good as the quarterback at Vanderbilt is. What do you have to do? Contain, make him run inside, and then be a good space tackler, getting him on the ground. The thing that the last week UTEP's quarterback can do, and the thing that this Pavia kid that we'll be talking about as we go through today's show is, they're physical runners. They can lower that shoulder and run over you too. So, but again, contain, keep him in the pocket, make him run inside, and be a good space tackler.
Coach, you've already talked about it. You talked about it. It's a four-man front spacing issue for everybody that plays once you open up your formation. You've got a four-man front spacing issue on defense, and you are rushing four. They've got five to block. And if you don't, we used to term it a cage rush, because somebody on the interior, because one of those gaps is going to be open on the inside, especially if you're letting your outside people take the outside rush. But the outside rush has to get to the quarterback level and then start to squeeze back. Where you see the opening start in a four-man front against a spread offense is when the outside rushers go too far up the field, get past the quarterback launch point, and now all of a sudden the quarterback not only has escape value up inside because one of those gaps is going to be open because you got two players on the inside playing three gaps, or they've got one of the outside gaps open because the edge has gotten – we always talk about setting an edge. Well, the edge can also get too wide in a pass rush. That's what happens. It's got to be a more controlled – you can still get off with speed, and you can – a lot of times we would use speed to power, where you would get speed and then squeeze the edges on the quarterback and not give him so many exit angles that he can take.
No plays in the red zone last week. That doesn't happen very often. No plays by – UTEP's offense. It was the way, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. It was just kind of workmanlike, nothing special. But the last three quarters in particular, first quarter they were getting after him pretty good. But, boy, it was a really good job of fundamental football. And, of course, field position, as always, played such a big key. UTEP had to go a long way on every single series. And that's a big plus for this Tennessee defense.
Yeah, Slaughter and McCoy each had an interception. And so you did the things that you needed to do to win the ball game. And then you started being able to – we'll talk about this. You started being able to play coach a lot of younger players. But to me, that ball game, they did exactly what they needed to do in that ball game. This is the focus now this week is Vanderbilt. And you can wash away what happened last week pretty quick.
What about the threat that Boo Carter has become on punt returns for Tennessee?
Well, two things on that. Number one, Boo Carter certainly is a talented player. This punt return team, though, really good job of holding up and giving him time to catch it. And he had some catches that were punts that were kicked a little bit low. But this young man, I watched him play in high school for 2 years down the Chattanooga area. He was at the top of Tennessee's recruiting list for in-state players. And fearless, he has excellent quicks. I don't know what his overall speed is. I think it's pretty good. But, man, his quickness, and that's what you have to be in a punt returner. And he has a feel for the game, feel for catching punts, knowing when to catch or not. I'll give you one other big plus, too, I always thought. I was a punt returner also in college. If you are a starting defensive back, you're already in the game, so it's just an extension of a defensive series. I think that makes a big plus, too. But this guy's only going to get better. But, again, and Coach Heupel mentioned this in his post-game talk, you still have to have those guys up front that are holding up, giving him time to make a move. You have to make that first man miss you. You got to make one guy miss you and then get going north and south. That's the key, and he's really good at that.
The two things I would always say, the first thing is you want a decision maker back there, a guy that makes quick decisions, and then you want a guy that's decisive. And when I say decisive, I mean somebody that will stick their foot in the ground and go forward. The thing that you don't want is someone that is indecisive, first of all, with the catch, when to catch it, when not to. Can you trust him to do that? But also tries to outrun edges of the coverage team before you ever clear anybody. You got to make the first guy miss, but then you've got to get vertical. At some time, you've got to get vertical, because if you get vertical, you give your blockers a chance to know where you're going.
This game provided another excellent opportunity for the Vols coaches to showcase some younger players. Doug, as you watched, who stood out?
Three of them offensive linemen. Larry Johnson, he's a redshirt sophomore. He junior college transfer, came in, offensive tackle, got some significant playing time. William Satterwhite, a true freshman at center. He, in all likelihood, if he's not the starting center next year, that'll replace Mays, he will be right there in the competition for that. Jesse Perry, a freshman offensive tackle, and Caleb Herring, a defensive end, a rush edge rusher. All of those guys got significant playing time. Herring, Perry, two young men from Tennessee, means a lot to them. They are young men that Satterwhite also, that this staff has been really excited about. Good future, and it's good to see them out there playing.
Well, Coach, memories you talk about, and to me, it always is special when you're able to put your seniors in at the end of a ball game. Some of these guys have been working every day in practice. They're seniors. They've been through. They may not have been major contributors game day, but those guys are always major contributors during the season at practice, in the meeting rooms. I mean, they're a big part of it. And to see him empty his bench of those guys and give them a chance, they'll never forget it.
We had three guys here. All three of these young men grew up in Tennessee. All three of these young men played in high school in Tennessee, and they're fifth-year seniors that have been at the University of Tennessee. Matthew Solansky, we don't talk about him a lot. He's the snapper on the punt team and the extra point team. Valuable, valuable player. And then two young men in the offensive line, Jackson Lampley, young man from here in Nashville, Dane Davis, young man from up in Bluff City. Matthew Solansky, by the way, was from Morristown in East Tennessee. But Lampley and Davis in particular, young men who have started very few games. They're in their fifth year, but they've been valuable offensive linemen that can go in and give you quality minutes. For those three young men, I'm sure it was even more special because, again, they grew up in all likelihood all of their life wanting to go play for their state university.
Hey, one area where we got to see some depth and where Tennessee appears to be a very deep football team, that's a running back.
Well, without question, Dylan Sampson is a junior. We don't have to talk about him. Could leave this year, has another year's eligibility. I would suspect that they're going to, you know, he's going to have some opportunities in the pros. But after that, what we've seen this year, Deshaun Bishop, 5'10", 200-pounder, redshirt freshman. He was the number two back for most of the year. He was injured about four games ago, has not played since then. But since then, we've seen Peyton Lewis, a true freshman, 6'1", 200-pounder, state track meet, 100-meter champion in Virginia. All right, Cam Seldon has been hurt much. He's a sophomore, didn't play hard at all last year, got in this ballgame, 6'2", 220. And then Keith, a sophomore, 6'1", 240. And all four of those guys, Sampson aside, they are physical, strong power rushers that in this ball game, Lewis, Seldon, and Keith trucked some of those defensive backs. Tennessee is in great shape. Two sophomores and two freshmen in that group. I'm sure they got another one or two coming in. If Sampson comes back, it's even better. But if he doesn't, Tennessee, from everything I've seen, these four young men are going to be in great shape in that running back room again next year.
Get inside the huddle. McGinnis, Matthews, and you. Coach to coach. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs. And at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, to be successful, you need five-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
SEC action Saturday means rivalry matchups up and down the schedule, starting with Clemson and South Carolina, 121st meeting. Louisville visiting Kentucky. Wildcats offense has failed to score 20 points in an SEC game this season. Coach to coach, as we get you ready for Vanderbilt and Tennessee, 11 o'clock kickoff in Nashville as we close in on the end of the regular season. To that point, college football openings popping up around the game. And some of them, quite frankly, are at some very tough places to play. UMass, Kennesaw State, Temple, Ball State, Rice. Doug, do the changes that we have seen in college football over the last 4 years, do they make these jobs any more attractive?
It really all depends on here's the key things I think that every assistant coach looks at. I know when I was an assistant coach is what I looked at, both as an assistant and then when I was a coordinator. Number one, what is your goal? Do you want to be a head coach? Some do, some don't. Some of the best coaches that's ever been never ever wanted to be head coaches. They were happy being coordinators. Secondly, what's the best way to achieve that game? Now, if you are a Kirby Smart or a Brent Venables, who is a coordinator at a top-quality program, you know, Clemson and Venables' case in Oklahoma, and Kirby Smart, of course, worked with Nick Saban. You're going to get opportunities to have big-time jobs. But if you're not at one of those schools, or if you're not a coordinator at one of those schools, most likely, and this is the way it's really always been, you may have to take a job like a UMass, like a Kennesaw State. I'll give you a great example. Mac mentions Coach Cignetti at Indiana. Where was he? Well, he had to take a job. James Madison, that's not a powerhouse football program. He took that job and was able to work his way up. But big thing is you have to decide what is your goal as a coach. Some, as I mentioned, just want to be coaches. Others want to be head coaches, and that's when you have to decide. A lot of times you're going to have to take a job that is not a good job or it wouldn't be opened, or it's not a job that the top coordinators would go after, and work your way up.
Well, and the other thing that you have to do, and I've been through this in my career and have had a lot of coaches go through it, and in this day and age, you got to try to understand, how is this NIL going to affect me? How's the transfer portal going to affect me? How many players am I going to be able to keep at a smaller school? But when you've got head coach on your resume, a successful head coach, behind your name on a resume, that helps. That helps you in this business. Where'd Nick Saban start out? Kent State. I mean, you go in and you win big. People that are doing the hiring, I don't care what level, they're looking for people that have done the job, that have won. Because whether you're winning at this level or you get a chance to go to the other level, there's something about the way you put a program together, the way you assemble a staff, the way you do. You can't manufacture that type of experience unless you go through it. I've always, any advice I ever give is really take a look at where you're going, but you also have to be willing to take the chances sometimes and have enough conviction and confidence in yourself that I can make this work. And if I make this work, then something else bigger will come along.
I guess the risk for a young coach is that I go somewhere, choose any of those schools we just talked about, that you go there and you can't escape. So Dave, how does a young coach think about that? I mean, you've worked with those guys over your career.
You got to win. The only way you, to put it in your words, the only way you escape is you win. If you go in and win, people recognize when you're winning. That is the big thing. And so I don't think people that are hiring at these Power Four schools don't have any problem hiring a coach that has coached at these lower levels if they have a series of successes behind them. That's what you have to do. If you're using these as springboard jobs, the only way you're going to go off of that springboard is win.
Well, another plus two on this is, let's say you go to one of the smaller schools and you get fired. We've had head coaching experiences, Max said, and you most likely are going to be able to get on as an assistant coach, maybe even a coordinator at a really good school. So there's really not a downside there. You got to be lucky, quite frankly, because a lot of people want these jobs. Somebody's going to take them. And then the other part of it, you got to be smart in how you handle it. But Larry, the big question you had is, if, and Mac just said it, if you have head coach on your resume, even if it, in the old days it was a head coach of a freshman team, you have an opportunity to move on up if you're successful.
But have you seen guys over your career, either one of you, that convince themselves, I can absolutely go to state whatever, state A&M, and win, when everybody else is saying, man, I don't, how are you going to win at that place?
But in the, at the end of the day, you've got to go with what your gut says and not worry about somebody else not having success. If you feel like that you can do this and it fits into what's going on in your personal life, then do it.
Give you one more good example. Mack Brown's a good example. He was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, took a Tulane job, which at that time was not a very good job, private school in New Orleans, was able to win there, went to North Carolina, then went to Texas. Now he's back at North Carolina coaching at 75 years old. So many ways of getting there.
All right, so you've got the lower brands. Then you've got the very highest brands. You got the Ohio States. You got the Alabamas. How much have the changes over the last 4 years moved the programs in the next tier below the Ohio States and Alabamas? How much closer today are they to that highest tier of programs?
They're getting closer because of the transfer portal. They're never going to catch them on a consistent basis. Just because the money and the tradition, they're not ever going to catch them, but they are getting closer on a one-game basis. We have seen examples this year already, and we're going to see more as we go deeper into the way the transfer portal and the NIL is going to be. Sooner or later, the more NIL money places are going to win out. That's just life in everything. The money speaks. But on a game-per-game basis, you're going to have these games that come up and say, how did so-and-so beat them? Well, they transferred some players in there that were veteran players that on that day were able to help. So it's closed the gap, but it'll never completely even out the gap, Larry. Never.
Well, name, image, likeness is the major factor. But that is going to be reserved for people who can – programs who can get around $20, $25 million to really be at the top of it. But, you know, we talk so much about the transfer portal and how these power conferences schools have picked up players from smaller programs. Well, if you're at one of those smaller programs, it works the other way also. You have an opportunity to get players who have played at the major college programs, maybe not quite – as good as they needed. You're going to have those players coming down to you also. The longer that we have had the transfer portal in place, at least from my view, is this. I think it helps the smaller programs bet more so than the top programs, because the top programs are only going to bring in 3, 4, maybe 5, most of them. Maybe not Georgia and Alabama's case when Saban was there, hardly any. But those smaller programs, you can find, again, you can find those players that are just a little bit not quite good enough to play at a major SEC or a Big Ten school that can come down and play for you. One thing, too, to always remember is this. One of my favorite sayings that I had a coach tell me one time, and this is a true whether you're working your way up or working your way down the ladder. The higher up the flagpole, the flag goes, the harder the wind blows. So the more you move up, The job is tougher. There's much more pressure on you. And when you move down, not quite as much.
Amazing moments. Special players. Stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
There's very few records that have been held for 95 years. Well, this past Saturday in Neyland Stadium, a 95-year-old scoring record was broken by the latest outstanding running back for the Big Orange. Junior Dylan Sampson scored his 132nd point of this 2024 season. Now, what did that do? It eclipsed the player that Coach Robert Neyland called the greatest player he had ever seen. Not the greatest player he'd ever coached, the greatest player that he'd ever seen, Gene McEvert. Gene McEvert was the first Volunteer All-American. He was the first Vol player to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame, the first class when it came up. He is credited, again by General Neyland, with the 100-yard kickoff returned against Alabama in 1928 that thrust the Volunteer program from just another program into the national prominence with that win. There have been a bevy of outstanding running backs in these past 94 years, and I mean a bunch of them, that scored a lot of touchdowns. None more than Dylan Sampson. 95 years from McEvert to Sampson, from the Wild Bull, Gene McEvert, to D-Samp, Dylan Sampson.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hey there, I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a
woohoo!
A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no
woohoo!
Idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's
woohoo!
A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win
woohoo!
Big. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Woohoo!
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Saturday's lineup includes the classic Iron Bowl rivalry, Tigers fighting for bowl eligibility, 2:30 kickoff for Alabama and Auburn. Arkansas and Missouri face off, Arkansas winless in six tries at Columbia. This is Coach to Coach. Let's break down the Vols matchup with Vanderbilt, starting with head coach Clark Lee. Hey, it's no secret that Lee looked like he was losing control of this program a year ago and that a change might be in the offing in Nashville. Transfers have helped, Doug, but there has to be more to it.
Well, transfers have certainly helped, but there were a couple of other things that Coach Lee did going into the season. Number one, he reinstated himself as the defensive coordinator. That's how he got this job. He was defense coordinator, an outstanding one at Notre Dame when he took this job. Like a lot of head coaches, they kind of step back and maybe put somebody else in charge. He is the defensive coordinator now. And secondly, he also brought in two men, Jerry Kill, who his, quote, senior offensive advisor is. What that means is he is overseeing the offense, and Tim Beck. Both of those came from New Mexico State. They brought with them an offense that they know inside and out, but they also brought with them a quarterback named Pavia, who's had a big part of it also.
Well, Clark Lee, coach, hit it right on the head. He was willing to pivot. He was willing to pivot at the inflection point that you talked about, Larry. He said, "What do I have to do right now?" I think he's overall building a good base of the program, but he was at a point as to where he had to make decisions that would make a big difference immediately. And the first part of it was, and people bypass this a lot, he's calling the defensive plays. Not only that, the kids know who's in charge, you know, of this defense. And then the ability to go out and bring an entirely different offense in here, I give him major kudos for being able to make a pivot at that juncture in his head coaching career.
Now, we don't hear much about Jerry Kill because he didn't coach down this part of the country. He was at Northern Illinois, a couple other spots. This guy, any coach that is around now will tell you he is one of the top coaches at any level in the country. Let's talk a little bit about Pavio, bringing him in. Big-time competitor, very physical, very football smart, excellent leader, and he has that feel for the game. You know, some players just have a feel for the game. Plus, this is his fifth season of experience in this offense. He was at New Mexico State with Coach Beck and Coach Kill. So he knows this offense inside and out also.
He's a dealer. You know, as a defensive coach, as you call this kind of guy a dealer, he will find a way, even sometimes if there is no way, to move the football. And the other thing is, you know, natural leader gets thrown out a lot. But this guy came in and in one off season had everybody on that football team believing this guy can help us win. And then as it got into the season, we're going to win because of this guy. He's a dealer. And that's it. And I've seen him throughout my career. We've seen him throughout our career. Doesn't have the requisite height. Doesn't have the requisite speed. The only thing he does is lead his team to wins. This guy's a winner.
And he does it with good stats. 16 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. That's impressive. The other thing you see, Dave, is that he really spreads the ball around.
Well, he really does. And here's what he has. Let's go to his tight end. People don't talk much about Eli Stowers, number 9, 6'4", 225 senior. He's got 44 catches. Now, this is off of that RPO system that this guy is readily available, especially in the middle of the field. He's a mismatch, all right? He's got 44 catches for 568 yards, 4 touchdowns, a 13-yard average. It's pretty salty for a tight end. They use it very well. Junior Sherrill, number 0, the wide receiver, is a sophomore, 5'11", 172 pounds. He's got 24 catches, 371 yards, 3 touchdowns, nearly a 17-yard average. And then Quincy Skinner, a wide receiver, number 3, he's a senior, 6'2", 205 pounds, 27 catches. You can see the ball's getting spread around, 356 yards, 2 touchdowns, averages 13 yards a catch. The quarterback, though, makes it. When you shuffle the deck of the cards, it doesn't matter where they are. But if you deal them right, you've got a chance. This guy's a dealer.
Well, talking about running backs, really, you're talking about the quarterback, too. Cedric Alexander is technically the leading rusher from a running back. He's 44 per game. But the leading rusher, if you take sacks, he hadn't had many, but if you take sacks off of what Pavia has done this year, he's rushed for over 750 yards, 75 per game. So he is the leading running back on this team. Number one, he touches the ball all the time, every time. He's either throwing it, handing it off, or a lot of the time running it. Got to stop him. He's the running game that you have to stop. You can live with the Alexander youngster, their running backs. The guy you got to stop from running the football is number 2.
The offensive line, they're a huge part of this. Left tackle, number 55, Gunnar Hansen. He's a redshirt junior. He's homegrown there. 6'5", 330. Left guard, number 52, Kevo Wesley. He's a graduate student, so he's been there a while. 6'4", 317. Their center, number 68. Steven Lasoya, he's a grad transfer. Here's the transfer portal there at the center spot, which is the hub. 6'3", 334, he's a double transfer from Mississippi State, Middle Tennessee, now to Vandy. Right guard, number 64, Delphin Xavier Castillo, senior, 6'5", 361. He's been there. Then their right tackle, number 50, Chase Mitchell, grad transfer, 6'4", 320 pounds. He's played a lot of football. He's from Liberty. So you can see the grad transfer in the offensive line has really helped them.
Doug, what's going to be the key for Tennessee's defense in this game?
Don't think it's any question. It's containing Pavia. It's having a contained pass rush, which is difficult for Tennessee to do. Listen, they believe in creating a lot of chaos, and they got all four of them trying to get in on that quarterback. When you do that, you're going to lose contain some, and I think they certainly understand that. But keeping him in the pocket, you have to get him on the ground. He's a really strong young man. So you got to get him on the ground. You know, he ain't going to be tackled by an arm tackle on that. But the bigger thing is contain him, make him beat you throwing. Don't let him beat you running the football. And when he does get out, get him on the ground as quick as you can.
Well, in this system also, spot tackling. You hear me talk about spot tackling a lot. Spot tackling means tackling in space. You need to be able to win the line of scrimmage, number one. But the ball is coming out. I just went through the receivers and the tight ends. He's going to get the ball to them, but the run after catch has to be minimized. If you're playing defense against this type of offense, you're spot tackling, which means the first initial person there has got to get him at least wrapped up where everybody else can swarm and get to him. Because run after catch, you've got to eliminate it.
On the defensive side, Vanderbilt allowing 21.9 points per game. Guys, that's 15 points less than a year ago. What a turnaround.
Well, the head coach is calling the defense. It's not as simple as that, but you've also got some veteran players that are playing now. But he's made a complete switch. Coach made a point, and it's a big point. Guys either get these kind of jobs because they're very proficient at one side of the ball or the other. He was very, very proficient in defense. And no matter what you say, somebody else calling it, even if you're sitting there on the headset with him, it's not the same because you don't have the same feel for your defense. I think that's a huge part of it.
Now, we hear a lot about complementary football. It's not a line that I use very much because I don't know that that's particularly true. But one of the big things that helps this defense is, first off, Vanderbilt has a 31-plus minute time of possession, all right? So that's two or three more minutes than the other team has. They only have six turnovers on offense, so they're not turning the ball over. What does that mean? That means they're usually giving their defense good field position. Six turnovers, that's only one every two ball games. That is phenomenal right now. But, again, they kick the ball well. They play the game well. You know, they're not outstanding in any one particular area, but they play the game well. They really don't have any area, offense, defense, or kicking, that is a negative. And that's how they've been able to win.
The defensive end, Linus Zonk, redshirt sophomore, number 96, okay, 6'6", 263 pounds. Their nose tackle, they play a guy over the center, number 98, Demarius Thomas, a sophomore, 6'2", 334. And then their other defensive tackle is number 15, Zaylen Wood. He's a grad transfer from Middle Tennessee, 6', 280 pounds. And so the way that he displaces and moves these people around, they're not going to overpower you with size, but they're very, very technique and assignment sound.
Got a couple of guys back in the secondary, one in particular that you don't have to watch much tape, watch many games. You see him stand out. He's number two on defense. Pavi's number two on offense. Radon Fontenette, he's the second leading tackler, nickel player. He is clearly the leader of this secondary. Hard hitter. They blitz him a lot. Good space tackler. A really, really good football player. And that's a guy, again, at that nickel spot out there on that slot receiver. He's going to be coming some. He's going to be playing man some. He's going to be dropping in zone some. But he's a guy you certainly want to know where he is.
They're two behind-the-ball linebackers. They're Will linebacker number four, Brian Longwell's a sophomore, 6'1", 227. But their best player behind the line of scrimmage is number 10, Langston Patterson. From CPA, the junior, 6'1", 230. This guy is a motor scooter back there behind the football. He's got excellent K&D, which is key in diagnosis. And here the other, he's a physical guy. He always gets ahead of the blocks. This is a really, really good football player. Langston Patterson.
Play calls. Official calls. Wrong calls. We break it all down. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. This is Coach to Coach.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game,
You can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
Hey there, I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a
woohoo!
A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no
woohoo!
Idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's
woohoo!
A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win
woohoo!
Big. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Woohoo!
119th meeting between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Vols have won the last five after Vanderbilt won three in a row. Saturday night in the SEC includes Florida and Florida State. Gators ran it for a buck 84 in the win over Ole Miss. Seminoles are 105th in the nation against the run. Oklahoma is at LSU. Texas A&M and Texas face off.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 14. Opponents have been able to sack the Vanderbilt quarterback just 14 times this season.
Well, the key, when you pressure, control, keep him in the pocket, make him throw from the pocket. He is at his best when he is outside running. Why only 14? I'll tell you why. He is excellent at throwing the ball away and not taking sacks. He does it well from the pocket. He's got that feel. A lot of times when he's just about to go down, he'll throw that ball past the line of scrimmage. He is excellent at that. He is a tough guy to get on the ground, so you got to make sure you get him on the ground. And I would say this, he's beat up because he runs the ball so much. Tennessee needs to go into this game defensively, and I'm sure Coach Banks will. Hey, when he gets, he's not going to slide. When he's out there running, punish him. Make him feel it every time. Put your pads on him. And if Tennessee does that, which I believe they will, that'll slow down some of that running the ball.
The number is 61, Diego Pavia's rushing average per game.
This number has to be below 50. It goes right with, we talk about the fits, but it also goes with the first man there has got to, you got to keep his legs under 50 yards in this ball game, then you've got a good chance.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to coach.